So we have come to Memorial Day weekend, and this weekend has a number of different feelings and attitudes from people. For some, it's a very somber weekend, and for others, it's a very joyous weekend. It's an extra day off from work, school. For some people, they see it as the unofficial beginning of summer, and they are summer people, and they like that idea. But one thing you might not have thought about, some people get excited about Memorial Day because it is the beginning for them, or it symbolizes the beginning of the growing season. And they're looking forward to vine-ripened tomatoes and fresh corn on the cob and juicy sweet watermelon. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Growing is generally a positive word. For instance, I loved watching my children grow, and I love watching my grandchildren grow, and now I'm enjoying watching my great-grandchildren grow. Can anybody identify with any of that? And I really enjoy watching my investments grow when they do. Can anybody identify with that? Quite often, growth is out of our control. It's going to happen no matter what. But some of our growth is because we've made decisions. We've made a commitment. And we step out and do something. And some of the growth is not a matter of size, like growing up. It's a matter of growing in quality, such as growing in knowledge, growing in patience, et cetera, et cetera. Growth usually means change. And in case you didn't know it already, lots of people do not like change. They hate change. And the older some people get, you know, I'm not going to finish that sentence. You know what I'm thinking. You know what I'm saying. Can you relate to that? People who do not like change often will find ways to avoid change, avoid quality growth. They make a decision to not grow. One of the great philosophers, one of the greatest philosophers of our time, a person to whom people, many people bow down and worship, is Oprah Winfrey. I'm waiting for the groans to come. She's quoted as saying this: we cannot become what we need to be by remaining what we are. Well, that's a pretty good quote. I like that. Let's think about that quote from a Christian perspective. In Christ, we cannot become what we need to be by remaining what we are. And what are we? What are we? And what do we need to be? Have you arrived as a Christian? Have you arrived? Or do you need some more growth in your life in order to become a mature Christian? First, what are we? Well, we clean up pretty nicely. I mean, as I look around this room, I see a lot of people who bathed and who dress nicely and who look like themselves. You hear what I said? I see people who brush their hair, if they have it. I see people who dress nicely, who smile, at least when people greet them, they smile, and who, for the most part, are satisfied with who they are. And I also see people who feel good about themselves, because they know that although their sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Amen. The problem with all that is this: it's far too easy to think of ourselves as complete. No more growth needed here. All the growing season is behind me. No. The growing season never, ever ends, no matter how old we get. The Apostle Peter wrote something about that was very profound in 2 Peter chapter 3, and he started it this way. He said, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar." It sounds like a science fiction movie of some type, a Steven Spielberg special. "The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare." It's way too easy to believe or think that that's not going to happen in our lifetime, because after all, countless centuries have gone by since that was written, and it hasn't happened yet. And sometimes the feeling is, if it hasn't happened yet, it ain't going to happen. Or it's not going to happen in my lifetime, as I said. I mean, it's not going to happen this week anyway. It's not going to happen this month anyway. Well, the devil wants us to think that way. So Peter continued, and he said, "Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be?" Well, that's a great question. And it's related to how this passage from 2 Peter applies to our subject today of growing in Christ. Peter then answered the question, and he said, "You ought to live holy and godly lives." Have you heard that before? Anybody ever heard that before? "You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming," he said. "So then, dear friends, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." How are you doing with all that? Well, I assume that you know what Peter also knew. There is absolutely no way that we can be spotless and blameless. We can't do that for ourselves. But God said through Peter, he said this, "Make every effort." Make every effort. You, me have a responsibility to make every effort to be what God says we're supposed to be. Are you listening to me? Or have you tuned me out already because you've heard this in Sunday school when you were a kid? Make an active choice to grow in Jesus Christ, regardless of your age. You cannot become what you need to be tomorrow by remaining what you are today. Now listen to how Peter summed all this up in 2 Peter 3:17. "Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned," like Chris was forewarned earlier today, "since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow." There's our word for today. He says, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he added a doxology. I love this. He said, "To him be glory both now and forevermore. Amen." I love doxologies. How can your faith in God and in his holy word grow? Well, one of the ways that can happen may not be what you're thinking. It may be because God allows something to happen in your life that interrupts your life. Did you notice how some of the people who shared this morning talked about that? And not always in things, in ways that you might think of as good ways, but things that might be challenging. John Newton wrote a poem about that. John Newton is the same person that wrote Amazing Grace. He wrote a poem about that. And if your life is challenged right now in any way, or if it ever has been, I hope that this poem will speak to your heart. And by the way, if it's not challenged right now, praise God, but it will be. It will be. The poem that he wrote is entitled, I asked the Lord that I might grow. Listen. I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know, and seek more earnestly his face. 'Twas he who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered prayer, but it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hoped that in some favored hour at once he'd answer my request, and by his love's constraining power, subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Have you ever felt that way? Yea, more, with his own hand he seemed intent to aggravate my woe, crossed all the fair designs I schemed, humbled my heart, and laid me low. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried, will you pursue this worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer your prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials that I employ from self and pride to set you free and break your schemes of earthly joy, that you may find your all in me. That's a powerful poem. It's quite a statement. Sometimes God brings growth into our lives through adversity, through challenges. If I were to open the floor right now for sharing the way we did earlier in the prayer time, I am confident that every person in here could talk about things that have happened in your life that have just, like the rug was jerked out from under your feet, that God allowed in your life, and perhaps he did that to help you grow. Now, your faith can also grow in other ways. For instance, it can grow because you make a commitment to it. In Philippians 1:6, God said through Paul, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, that God will bring it to completion. But that does not mean that we do not have responsibility. He lays responsibilities on my shoulders and yours to become a mature Christian. But Harry, I am a mature Christian. I've been around for a long time. I started out in Sunday school. Some of you said I was born into a Christian home. How we even began the sharing here today. I was born, I pray. I read the Bible, I tithe, and more. Do I really need to hear this sermon? Yes, we do. We do. You may be a tired Christian, but there's no such thing as a retired Christian. What can we do to grow spiritually? I suspect you know all the answers because you've heard them since Sunday school. You've heard them in sermons. You've heard them in songs. All the things we can do to become a mature Christian. You've probably heard enough of them, songs and testimonies, and that you could write a book. You could write a book. But let's remind ourselves of a few of the important spiritual disciplines that we know we need to have in our lives in order to grow into maturity. Here is one of the biggies. We grow by feeding on the Word of God. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, you may be tuning me out right now again because you've heard that all your Christian life. But let me ask you something. How much time did you spend in God's Word yesterday? Maggie, I was thrilled when you gave your testimony earlier. And I thanked God for it because I knew I was going to ask that question. And you were a living example. How much time did you spend in God's Word yesterday? What about last week? How much time did you spend in God's Word last week? You've got the picture. Most of us own multiple translations of the Word of God, and we have them at home on a shelf collecting dust. And I don't want to alarm you, but God knows that. In Joshua 1:8, it says, keep the book of the law always on your lips. That's quite a lot. Meditate on it day and night. Brothers and sisters, I don't have to tell you this. That requires commitment. A lot of commitment. And remember this, God does not tell us to just read his word. He tells us to memorize it. He says to hide my word in your hearts. And you may have done that in the past. And you know, if you have, you know the value of that. But what about yesterday? What about last week? What did you enjoy more, the Bible or Netflix? Talking to myself here. Here's another common spiritual discipline for growth, and that's prayer. Where have you heard that before? And here is a scripture that you have memorized. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. And in that passage, it says, pray continually. How often? Continually. Some translations say, pray without ceasing. How are you doing with that one? I suspect most of you have sung this many times. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But nobody has ever written a second verse that says, pray to the Lord continually. Again, I say to pray. That's what the Bible says. That's what that passage says in 1 Thessalonians. Here's a question for you. Are you a talker? I am. I tend to talk too much. Probably all of you have at least one person in your life who loves to talk. And your gift is listening patiently as they talk. Do not look around the room as I'm sharing this thought. Well, in its simplest form, prayer is talking to God. We all talk. Yes? Prayer is just talking to God. And you can do that. You can do that every day. You can do that every day. You can do that every hour of every day. And God is a very patient listener. Jeremiah 29, call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I love that promise. Colossians 4, 2, devote yourselves to prayer. Romans 12, 12, be faithful in prayer. The more you pray, the more you will grow up spiritually. It's just true. Well, so far we've covered two very common spiritual disciplines: feeding on the Word of God and praying. The next one I'm going to share is a lot less known and a lot less popular. It's found in Proverbs 27:17. And it says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. What's he talking about? He's talking about interaction with other people. If you are a Christian who lives in isolation, your growth in Christ will be stunted. We are not meant to be Lone Ranger Christians. We are called to fellowship with one another. Some people simply do not like that. They just don't like that. And some people actually work at avoiding that. And those people will never mature in the Lord. We need one another. Say that. We do. That's what the Bible teaches. We need one another. We need to be interacting with one another. Iron sharpening iron. In all aspects of life, not just the spiritual aspects, we grow when we are both challenged by other people and encouraged by other people. As a baby, as a teenager, we needed our parents to challenge us and to encourage us. As an adult, we frequently get to the point where we say, finally, I'm free of all of that. I've been challenged enough. I don't want to be challenged anymore. I just want to be encouraged. No more challenging, please. When you walk through life with other Christians, you have the mutual opportunity to hold one another accountable to God's word. Sometimes that is, quite honestly, uncomfortable. Get over it. Your strengths can help somebody else overcome their challenges. Their strengths can help you when you step in it, and you do. John 13:34, Jesus said, a new command I give to you, love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. But by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You cannot love one another if you are not in fellowship with one another. You can't. And you can grow through that fellowship. Is that going to change anyone's behavior here? I don't know. I lay that before you with God. Remember we said at the beginning that some growth is out of our control. It's going to happen regardless. Well, here is a similar teaching from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, growth. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Growth. I'm not wishing for trials to come into your life any more than I'm wishing for trials to come into my life. But the question is, how do you deal with them when they come along? You can be a person who bleeds all over everybody else all the time, saying, woe is me, life is terrible, there's a cloud above my head. Oh, Charlie Brown, there's a cloud above my head. You can be that kind of person. That's very draining on other people and very draining on you if that's who you are. Or you can be a person who turns to God and says, Lord, help me grow through this trial. Help me to learn to trust you more. I think God would smile with that. Brothers and sisters, I hope you can say with me that you want to be a person who walks with God. You want to be a person who treasures his word. You want to be a person who talks to him and prays to him. You want to be a person who's open and teachable by others and by God. And a person who can say, be patient with me because God ain't finished with me yet. Finally, Paul said this in Ephesians 4, we will no longer be infants. We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here or there. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Brothers and sisters, let's grow up together, shall we? Pray with me. Father God, I pray that you will help each one of us know where we need to grow and how. And when. And I pray, Lord, that we may hold your hand as you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.